Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Colerain, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the First Baptist Church. We appreciate you tuning in, listening. There's a lot more people listening than there are watching on YouTube and Facebook. We appreciate it, each and every one of you, wherever you are. Could be sitting in the car somewhere or at home listening to this message. And for people in the area that can listen on 100.1, welcome. So we're going to, well, Matt is shortly. As a lot of you know, and it's by the time you see this on YouTube and Facebook, it's past the 17th of March. Today, we're taking a detour from our studies in 1 Peter. Move a lighter message, not as heavy, not as deep, not as meaty. And why are we doing this? Because it's St. Patrick's Day. Yes, St. Patrick's Day. And for more than 1,500 years, not only the Irish people have observed St. Patrick's Day as a religious holiday, but also people from all over the world are celebrating it today. You're probably going to have corned beef and cabbage for lunch. I don't know if you haven't already. Okay, so I'm going to let Matt read the scriptures today, which is Romans chapter 10, reading from verse 5 to the end of verse 15. Matt, come on up.
Praise God for Jim, waking him up with a sense of humor, asking me to read this. Romans. Moses described in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blessed all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the ones that have not believed in, and how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Praise God.
Thank you, Matt, very much. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful to be here, and we're just thankful for another day on planet Earth. It's a true blessing, and we know that we'll be at your side one day where there is fullness of joy. In the meantime, we are so thankful for those that are willing to be here and those that are listening, watching. We thank you for them, and we pray that we'll receive a blessing and learn something new today, and glean from the life of St. Patrick what it is to be a true servant of the living God. And may he be a good example for us to live by. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. So, you know about St. Patrick, there's been many myths and legends about him because he's such a famous character and all that he did in the service of the Lord. One of the myths is that he was the one that would rid Ireland of all the snakes. You know, there's no more snakes in Ireland because St. Patrick, you know, banished them all. So I think it's safe to say that that's one of the myths. I wish you could come here and do it here, but we've got a lot of them. Some people are actually introducing the rattlesnakes in the area. Great, that's what we need, more rattlesnakes. Yeah. So today's message, we're going to learn more about the real St. Patrick, the real St. Patrick. He was born in the north of England, Northumbria, very on the tip of the Hadrian's Wall in Scotland. He wasn't Scottish, he was English. Might be a surprise to a lot of Irish people to know that. There's a lot of history gone down, and the English are not very popular with the Irish, but, you know, never mind, that's in the past, that's historical facts, so you can't change the past. But he was an Englishman, born in 385 AD, during the time of the Roman conquest. They were there, and I think a lot of those Romans, they brought the gospel with them, having been saved. And there was a lot of people that were converted to Christ because of that. While St. Patrick was growing up, the gospel was there. In fact, his father was a deacon in the church, but Patrick wasn't saved until later on, which we'll learn more about from his own words. Roman conquest, when he was a teenager, his life dramatically changed. A lot of you know the story already. How did it change? Well, he writes himself. He said, "I was taken captive about 16 years of age." Imagine that. "I did not indeed know the true God." So he's confessing he wasn't a Christian. "And I was taken into captivity in Ireland with many thousands of people, according to our sins. We were quite drawn away from God. We did not keep his precepts, nor were we obedient to our ministers, who used to remind us about the salvation found in Jesus Christ alone. The Lord brought us on us the fury of his being and scattered us among many nations." That's what God did with the Jewish people, didn't he? With Israel, because of their disobedience. "Even to the ends of the earth, where I, in my smallness, am now to be found amongst foreigners." Sounds a bit like me. Actually, when he was very young, he couldn't hardly speak a word. He was so shy, or he wasn't able to, or he didn't want to. And apparently later on he had a very severe stammer when he was able to speak. And we know from the Old Testament that Moses had a speech impediment as well, but that didn't stop the Lord using him. Amen? "And there the Lord opened my mind to an awareness of my unbelief, in order that, even so late, I might remember my transgressions and turn all my heart to the Lord my God, who had regard for my insignificance." A very humble man was Patrick. Very humble. Didn't take any credit for what he did in his life. "He had regard for my insignificance, had pitied my youth and ignorance, and he watched over me before I knew him." That's it. That's the Lord. He knows exactly when we're going to receive him as Savior. "And he protected me and consoled me as a father would his son." So while in captivity, Patrick had to do some soul searching, which we ought to do ourselves weekly, daily. And he asked himself, "Am I willing to draw closer to God in turbulent times?" And it was during Patrick's captivity, time as a slave in Ireland, that he became a Christian, a true born-again Christian. And he said, I mean, his life was completely transformed. He said, I would pray constantly during the daylight hours, and faith grew. During the day, I would say as many as 100 prayers. And at night, only slightly less. Oh, goodness. How about that? As a slave, Patrick must have suffered greatly. Under adverse conditions, he became a shepherd, and he was out in all weathers. I'm sure going without food. He said, but because of the love of Christ in him, he knew that he would have to forgive his captors who mistreated him. He also knew and also took him away from his home and his family that he missed greatly. He was extremely homesick during this time, but he had no choice. He was enslaved in Ireland, foreign country, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from his homeland. He knew because Jesus taught that we should forgive others that have trespassed against us. And Jesus put that into practice himself when he was nailed on the cross by the Roman soldiers. He even forgave them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said, well, if Jesus can do that under those adverse circumstances, I know that I need to forgive others as well. And we do too. Patrick himself said, am I willing and able to forgive those who have caused pain in my life? And we can ask ourselves the same question. Are we willing to forgive those that have caused pain in our life? And he says, am I willing to follow the call of God and even give my life to those who enslave me? And Jesus gave his life, didn't he? So that we could be free. But was Patrick willing to do it? He was asking these questions to himself. Thankfully, as it turns out, Patrick was not only willing to forgive, but eventually would actually go back to the place where he'd been a slave for 6 whole years of his life, the country of Ireland. He could testify, which he will shortly, and in his own words. Of course, God made it all possible for him to be able to escape his captors. And before that, he said, I used to pastor the flock each day, praying in the icy coldness, in the rain, in all weathers. It was there, of course, that one night, in my sleep, I heard a voice saying to me, you do well to fast. Soon you will depart to your home country. And a short time later, there was a voice prophesying, behold, your ship is ready, and it is not close, 200 miles away. And shortly thereafter, I turned and fled by the power of God, who directed my route until I reached that ship that was waiting. That prophecy came true. You can't imagine how difficult that must have been for him, not only to make his escape, but also travel by faith, believing in this word that he heard, to go and travel 200 miles on a very, very difficult terrain, possibly without food, water, very, very difficult. But he was trusting in God's divine guidance, and God did. He showed him how to get to that ship that was moored 200 miles away that would shortly leave to take him back to England. But then when he arrived on the coast, he had to get back to his family. And a lot of them were starving, as it turned out. But then the Lord provided these pigs on the way, and they slaughtered these pigs, and everybody had a hearty meal, and they all recovered, but they were starving. So that ship would eventually take him back and be reunited with his family. He was trusting in the word of God. Psalm 116, 8 and 9, he says, "For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living." So, back in England, he ended up becoming an ordained minister. And 10 years later, in another vision from God, God told him that he wanted him to go back to Ireland and evangelize the Irish people. They were total pagans. They didn't have the gospel at all. So he writes in his own words, "After a few years, I was again in Britain with my parents." Thankfully, they were still alive. There in a vision of the night, I saw a man whose name was Victoricus coming as if from Ireland with innumerable letters, and he gave me one of them. And I read the beginning of the letter, "The voice of the Irish." And as I was reading the beginning of the letter, it seems at that moment I could hear the voices of those who were beside the forest of Falkirk, which is near the Western Sea. And they were crying as if in one voice, "We beg you, holy youth, that you shall come and walk among us again." Thus, I woke up. Thanks be to God, because after so many years, the Lord bestowed on them according to their cry. So would he obey the commission to go, or would he stay in England? So having been convinced that that's what God wanted him to do, to go back, he set his heart to complete his role in the Great Commission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature so they can be saved. That's what he did, to reach and preach the gospel message to the pagan Irish. But it wouldn't be easy, extremely difficult. His life would be in danger. And he wrote, "That I might come to the Irish people to preach the gospel and endure insults from the unbelievers. If I should be worthy, but I am ready to give even my life without hesitation and most willingly for his name." So he was willing to die for the cause, like Jesus did for us. So regardless of the opposition, it was great. Patrick, he was around in his 40 or so. He sold all his possessions, including the land that he inherited from his father, in order to fund this missionary journey and set sail to the foreign land and the unknown land of Ireland by himself. And when he arrived, he worked as an itinerant preacher. Remember, he was an ordained minister, going round. He had to learn the language as well. And he gave money to various tribal chiefs to ensure safe travels through their land in order to preach the gospel and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he functioned as a missionary, trying to relate to the Irish people, learn their culture, learn their language, communicate the gospel from their cultural mindset. He even used things like using a three-leaf clover to explain the Holy Trinity. God being one, yet in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So every time he entered a pagan clan, and there was many of them, Patrick would always seek to convert the tribal chief first. And then other people in the village would see the difference that Jesus made in their lives and would follow suit, having received Jesus as their savior. And then if there was enough converts in that tribal group, that clan, in the village, he would organize the people to erect a church building. And then he would baptize them all, the new converts, and would hand the church over to one that he had trained as a pastor to teach the people the word of God that he taught them. That way Patrick could move on to another village and repeat the process over and over again with another clan. So, you know, what was the outcome of all this? That was the real St. Patrick. Once he became a Christian, dedicated his whole life ministering to the people who once enslaved him, and as a result of obeying God's call to go back to Ireland, literally thousands of people were converted to Christ, truly converted to Christ. Now, during his long life service to the Lord in Ireland, apparently he trained about 1,000 pastors. He planted at least 700 churches. Can you imagine? One guy, what one person can do through the power of God in the name of the Lord, if one is willing to dedicate their lives to him. And he was the first noted person in history to speak out against slavery, having been one himself. He knew from practical experience how horrible that was. Patrick, St. Patrick, known as the Apostle to Ireland. In his later years, he wrote a couple of books, one of them called Confessions, what I'm reading from today, quoted from today, Confession. And he says, "Behold, now I commend my soul to God, who is faithful and for whom I perform my mission, although being unknown." See, not many people knew him. They do now. "But God is no respecter of persons, and he chose me for this service that I might be one of the least of his ministers sent." See? Very humble guy. So Patrick didn't take any credit for what God did through him. He gave all the glory to God who made it all possible. Again, he wrote later on, he says, "I bear witness before God and his angels that it will be as he made it known to one of my inexperience. These are not my own words, which I have put before you in Latin. They are the words of God and the apostles and prophets who have never lied. Anyone who believes will be saved. Anyone who does not believe will be condemned. God has spoken." And that's for you folks that are unsaved. Patrick is quoting what the Bible says. Anyone who believes will be saved. Anyone who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is not only condemned, but will remain condemned. But you can be saved from your sins. Jesus paid the price on the cross to take your punishment that you deserve because you're a sinner. And if you call upon the name of the Lord, which we read this morning in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, you shall be saved. You have to believe it by faith. I'm almost finished. The Lord blessed Patrick's faithfulness, his humility. Thousands, like I said, were converted to Christ. He never took any credit for it. He baptized thousands of people and directed them to seek the holiness of God in their lives. That's what we need to do. That's why we're going through the book of Peter. Amen. So let me close by reading one of his prayers. I remember he used to pray 100 times a day and some close to that at night as well. I don't know how he got any sleep. This is what he said in the prayer. It's called, "I Rise Today." I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, the three in one, the one in three. I bind this day to me forever by power of faith in Christ's incarnation, his baptism in the Jordan River, his death on the cross for my salvation, his bursting from the spiced tomb, his riding on the heavenly way. I bind unto myself today and the power of God to hold the lead, his eye to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need, the wisdom of my God to teach, his hand to guide, his shield to ward, the word of God to give me speech, his heavenly host to be my guard. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful prayer. Patrick died on St. Patrick's Day, the 17th of March, 461, at the age of 76 years of age. Patrick proved that God can use anyone, I repeat, anyone who is willing to dedicate their lives in his royal service for God's glory. Amen. May we have the same testimony. Amen. It's close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for people like Patrick, but he wouldn't take any credit for what you did in his life, because he knew it was all because of you and the love that you bestowed upon him, knowing that you died for him personally. And he was willing to sacrifice his life, knowing that you sacrificed your life for him. And we thank you that you used him and have used other countless people, ordinary people. He wasn't from the upper classes. He wasn't from that group, although people can use anyone from any social status. He came from humble background. But what you did in his life was amazing, because you are amazing. And we pray that we'd have the same dedication as he did, to offer up our life as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to you, which is our reasonable service. Maybe some people here, some young people, are willing to dedicate their life for the first time, or think about going to Bible college and learning more about Christ and eventually go to the mission field. And it's amazing what God can do in the life of anybody who's willing to dedicate their lives to you, because you alone have the power to make it possible. And we give you the thanks and the praise. And I must address those of you that are listening that are not saved. I have to remind you again that unless you are saved from your sins, to have your sins forgiven, you are still condemned and lost in your trespasses and sin. If you were to die, where would you go? If you're not sure, then it's obvious that you're not saved. So believe what Jesus did on that cross and look to him and ask him to save you from your sins and make you a new person and give you the peace that you can't get in this world and a home in heaven, which is guaranteed when you leave this world. You just have a simple prayer. Say, Lord God, I am sorry. I am so sorry that you had to send Jesus, your son. Thank you, Jesus, for suffering in my place on that cross, taking the punishment that I deserve. I am a sinner, but you are completely sinless and bore the punishment that I should have received. So I believe in my heart that you did that for me personally, that you died, that you were buried, And I believe truly that you rose again from the dead and you are alive. You are in heaven, and I call upon you to come into my heart to save me from my sins, because I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And you made that possible, and I believe it by faith in what you did on that cross. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much. God bless you all, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you again for tuning in. You can find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you find podcasts. We'd love for you to join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Massachusetts. If you have any questions or inquiries, please feel free to call the church at 413-624-8886. Hope to see you soon. God bless.